Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with an analysis of last night's third and final presidential debate from Alan Schroeder, a professor of journalism at Northeastern University and author of Presidential Debates, 50 Years of High-Risk TV. We will discuss the final act in a dramatic seesaw and how much style trumps substance, and whether, as Alan Schroeder's article at CNN suggests, was Obama too relentless on Romney. Then Lisa Graves joins us. She's executive director of the Center for Media and Democracy and was formerly a deputy assistant attorney general in the Justice Department. We will discuss the blurred line between news and propaganda and the post-debate spin and analysis, in particular Fox News' cynical use of a so-called focus group arranged by Frank Luntz that claimed to be former Obama voters who had been swayed into switching to Romney. Then finally, with the recent news that Newsweek is ending its print edition and that Rupert Murdoch is vying to buy the Los Angeles Times and the Chicago Tribune, we will speak with a former senior editor at Newsweek and editor-in-chief of Businessweek, Stephen Shepard. He is the author of a new book, Deadlines and Disruptions, My Turbulent Path from Print to Digital. And we will discuss the changing nature of the news business and the future of print journalism in the digital age. Joining us now is Alan Schroeder, who's a professor in the School of Journalism at Northeastern University in Boston. He's the author of several books, including Presidential Debates, 50 Years of High-Risk TV, and Celebrity in Chief, How Show Business Took Over the White House. He has also written for Politico, The New York Times, Washington Post, Boston Globe, and the Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung. He has an article at CNN, Was Obama Too Relentless on Romney? Welcome to Background Briefing, Alan Schroeder.
Thank you, Ian.
And it does seem that we're in two alternative universes here. The liberal press and television were claiming victory, and the conservative press were claiming that Romney shone as a statesman. So you hear watching MSNBC, they're referring to him as a liar and a shapeshifter. And I guess on Fox, they're saying that he won outright. So what is your sense? I mean, obviously, your article suggests that perhaps Obama was too relentless on Romney.
Well, yes. However, let me preface everything by saying that I think Romney lost the debate, and I think Obama won the debate. And I think that for a couple of reasons. But I was critical of Obama in one sense, and that is that in his attacks on Romney, there were moments where it felt to me that he crossed the line into being just a little too personal and a little too petty. He is the president, and he has to embody a sort of noblesse oblige, if you will, at all times, in a way that really protects the integrity of that office. And it seemed to me that he kind of stooped a couple of points. That said, I do think he won the debate, and I think he won the debate because I think he was able to really diminish Romney as a serious foreign policy thinker, and I think that Obama was also quite effective in showing people out there in the audience that he really wants this. He wants to be reelected, and that was, of course, the problem he had in the opening debate.
So when Mitt Romney says to Obama, attacking me is not an agenda, I thought that Obama's retort should have been, well, I'm not attacking you, I'm correcting you. But he didn't essentially moderate his tone by suggesting that his dilemma, which I think he clearly feels, is, on the one hand, I want to get my points across, but on the other hand, I keep having to correct you. So I don't know why he didn't really share that his problem with us, as opposed to sort of being a sparring partner.
Well, you know, this is what's so interesting about these debates is the strategy going in is always very situational. And I think what happened last night was you have a situation where Romney's had all of this wind at his back, all of this momentum, and he went into that debate and almost was behaving as though he were the incumbent president and Obama were the challenger. And so I think Romney had this very deliberate strategy of trying to rise above. You'll notice how much he did not respond to a lot of Obama's punches. And even on something as big as the Libyan issue, the handling of the death of the American ambassador in Benghazi, Romney just didn't even grab that. And I think it was all part of this effort on his part to portray himself as a statesmanlike figure and above the petty politics. And it's interesting that the president is the one then who assumed what traditionally is the challenger's role of really going on the attack.
Well, isn't everything that Obama's doing in that regard a result of what didn't happen in the first debate by being so passive and allowing Romney to overnight become a moderate from after 2 years of running to the right? He had to kind of make up for it in the subsequent two debates, and they became less about what he needed to do, but it became more about what he needed to do to catch up as opposed to deal with, as you say, these things are very situational.
Yes, I think that's right. And I think as a result that Obama may have overcompensated slightly in the second and third debate, although I do think that he won both of those debates. But he needed to be aggressive because, as you say, there had been that very odd performance of his in that first debate where he just seemed to be absent from the proceedings. And I think that's going to be one of the fascinating stories that emerges from this 2012 presidential campaign, however it turns out, is that night in Denver and what was going on in Obama's head as he stood on that stage and was, in effect, a stranger to, the entire country who was quite familiar with him but didn't recognize him in that performance.
Well, it was almost as if he was a spectator at his own demise, and that's what I find extraordinary. And indeed, it will be a matter for historians to mull over, particularly if he loses, because that's probably the reason why he lost. If he does lose.
Yeah. Yes, I think that definitely was a pivotal moment. You can see it in the shift in the polls, in the shift in the momentum, and the shift in the media narrative, which is something that is somewhat within the control of the campaigns, you know. So I think that Obama really just misconceived that entire first performance and didn't quite know how to handle the Mitt Romney who showed up. Now, obviously, Obama got better as the series went on, and interestingly, Romney actually, I think, sort of got worse, although he did accomplish some things last night. And one of the things that he accomplished was, I think, that aura of sort of calm and that aura of someone who was not intimidated by the circumstances. And that whole thing of getting people in the audience to envision you as a president. And it's a very difficult thing for a non-incumbent to do.
In regards to your second book, obviously Ronald Reagan synthesized show business and politics. And it does seem to be a real natural gift that people are either telegenic or not. In terms of this, in this new age, Clinton had the gift. Obama has the gift, and the sort of reductio absurdum of this new requirement is that it will end up having the Democratic actor versus the Republican actor. But just in terms of your first book, Presidential Debates: 50 Years of High Risk TV, everybody still sort of talks about Richard Nixon sweating and looking like he needed a shave, and Jack Kennedy looking fresh and confident. And so this is a long-winded way of asking you the question, is style more important than substance?
Without question. And I think that sometimes we get disappointed in presidential debates because they are pretty superficial in many ways, and because the level of discourse is not as high as we would like. I mean, if you look at that debate last night, this alleged foreign policy debate where entire swaths of the globe were just ignored, including places like Europe. I mean, the entire continent of Europe barely even touched upon. So I think if we judge debate by content and by reading the transcript, we're missing the point. What this is an exercise in which we, the viewers, get to judge the candidates in a moment of high pressure in a real-time situation, free from all of the packaging that normally surrounds them. and side by side. And it isn't a perfect vehicle by any means, and it certainly shouldn't be the only vehicle for arriving at an electoral decision. But it's a pretty good one in spite of its flaws, as long as we accept it for what it is.
Well, I think your point's well taken, Alan Schroed. At times it felt to me that these two candidates are running for Prime Minister of Israel. But when you say Obama, your article at CNN says, "Was Obama too relentless on Romney?" that he may have gone over the line, and we don't know. What I'm hearing from young people, they loved his quip about horses and bayonets,
right.
Whereas I think a lot of older people thought maybe he was a bit too patronizing and disrespectful of Romney. But I noticed that he doesn't really go in for the kill Obama. He sort of slaps him around a bit, but then doesn't, you know, go for the knockout punch. When he was trying to conflate Romney with Bush's foreign policy, the best argument I think he has is that Romney's advisors are in fact largely the neoconservatives who brought us this Iraq disaster. And I noticed in early debates, both he and Vice President Biden had pointed out that the person choosing Romney's judicial candidates is Robert Bork, and that certainly resonates. So why do you think he didn't go in for the kill there?
Well, I think you're absolutely right about that he's a little bit like a cat with a dead mouse. He'd rather just kind of bat it around and play with it than finish it off. And is it something in his personality? I mean, it's just not his style, really. It's not his style, Obama, to go in and really, you know, dispatch his opponents. I think he looks at it as a little bit of an intellectual exercise, and that he approaches this on that level and maybe misses some of the political implication here. But you're right. I mean, he missed an amazing opportunity there to name some of the names of Bush's advisors who are now Romney's advisors. Now, he did that in the previous debate when he was talking about Romney's immigration advisor being Kris Kobach, the Secretary of State from Kansas, who is essentially the man behind the Arizona immigration law, the controversial law there. But why he didn't do that last night, and I think that's a fair critique of Obama's performance. He's not a natural debater. And I don't think he's a particularly gifted orator in that setting. You know, he's a terrific speech giver, but that is not his milieu, that debate stage. And I also don't think he particularly likes doing it. And liking doing it is a very great credential to bring to the debate table with you.
Well, certainly the other moment where I kept thinking, you know, why don't you're being given a gift here. I mean, Romney was teeing up when he was going on about what he would do to the Middle East and how he would transform the Middle East and make it into a democracy where he kept stressing women's rights and improving women's rights. And I thought, you know, well, why doesn't Obama come back and say, wait a minute, you want to bring about women's rights in the Middle East and take them away at home? I mean, it seemed to me such an obvious softball that was being lobbed there.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. There was another one like that in that debate where he said something about if we're going to talk about our foreign trips, and I was expecting him to bring up Romney's disastrous tour of Europe where he managed to insult pretty much every country that he visited, and Obama didn't go there either. Now, you can't do everything in the debate, you know, and it's an organic conversation. You can't wedge every little prepared remark or attack that you've come into the debate with. It's difficult to integrate that. But even so, it did seem like Obama missed a number of opportunities in that debate and in previous debates, frankly.
So just in closing, Alan Schroeder, in watching the spin and the punditry afterwards, particularly I was watching MSNBC where they were all giddy with their champion Obama winning and talking about the liar and the shapeshifter and being quite dismissive of Romney, except for the one guy that they have on there, the token Republican, Steve Schmidt, who ran McCain's campaign. And he had, of course, had a completely different picture. And it was interesting that both sides talk past each other. And there really are two universes out there. The people in this country see the same thing quite differently. And I'm just wondering, at the end of the day, we don't know how it's going to translate. What's your final verdict, though, on how it might translate? You've said that he won, but in a way that's kind of meaningless, isn't it? There's no evidence in the poll that the polls really get any kind of a bump from this kind of stuff.
Right, and historically there isn't much evidence that debate victories translate into success at the ballot box. What debates typically do is reinforce existing perceptions more than change minds, and that's true now more than ever because of the huge numbers of people who have arrived at a decision already. But I think at this point what you're doing, if you're one of the debaters, is you're trying to drum up enthusiasm for your candidacy among the people who already support you, get them out to the ballot box, make sure they cast their votes. So it isn't so much about changing minds, I don't think, or closing the sale, maybe unless with a view of the undecideds, as it is just keeping the people who already support you excited about your candidacy. And I think that both of them actually managed to accomplish that in these debates, weirdly enough.
So do you think then that this is will be seen in history as the election that was lost in the first debate, or the election that was clawed back in the second and third?
Well, you know, at this moment, there does seem to be in the swing state polls, there does seem to be a slight Obama advantage here, and in the Electoral College. But you know, it's a huge question mark here, and I'm not sure that the debates, which I think a lot of people were hoping would clarify the situation, I'm not sure that the debates did necessarily clarify. I'm not sure we'll have clarity until Election Day, and God knows there's the possibility we won't even get it then.
Well, that's another subject. I thank you so much for joining us, Alan Schroeder.
My pleasure, Ian. Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Alan Schroeder, professor in the School of Journalism at Northeastern University in Boston. He's the author of several books, including Presidential Debates, 50 Years of High-Risk TV, and Celebrity-in-Chief, How Show Business Took Over the White House. He's also written for Politico, The New York Times, Washington Post, Boston Globe, and the Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung. He has an article at CNN, Was Obama Too Relentless on Romney? We're going to take a brief station break and be back discussing the blurred line between news and propaganda.